The meeting of the ESSAC with the board. We'll get started in just about a minute's time. All right, good morning. This is Ram Mohan. This is the board with the ESSAC. Let's get started. The first thing that might be useful, I think, especially for board members who don't know all of the ESSAC members, might be for us to just go around very quickly, and if you could please state your name and your affiliation, and we'll just move on. Start with you, Patrick.
Patrick Fällström, Netnode, but member of ESSAC.
Andre Phillips, he's ethnic member of ESSAC.
I'm John Levine, MOG liaison at ESSAC.
Russ Mundy, ESSAC, and also ESSAC liaison to RSAC.
Jim Galvin, Affilius.
Jacques Latour, CIRA.
Christian Hesselman, SIDN. And ESSAC.
Tara Whalen, Google and ESSAC.
Greg Aaron, ESSAC, Threat Cyber Group.
Sarah Deutsch, ICANN board.
Jonas Honinen, IT affiliation to the ICANN board.
Shireen Chalabi, ICANN board.
Ram Mohan.
Rod Rasmussen, ESSAC chair.
Julie Hemmer, ESSAC vice chair.
Maarten Bottelman, ICANN board.
Lucius van Laan, ICANN board.
Barry Barry Lieba, Huawei, ESSAC.
Chris Rosenrod, Neustar, ESSAC.
Robert Guerra, Privatera, ESSAC.
Jeff Bedzer, ESSAC, iThreat Cyber Group.
Ben Butler, ESSAC, GoDaddy.
Medica Keo, ESSAC, Farsight Security.
Andrei Kolesnikov, IoT Association, ESSAC, and Alec Lison to ESSAC.
Jay Daly, independent contractor, ESSAC.
Lyman Chapin, InterAL Consulting Group, and ESSAC.
Jaap Akkerhuis, ESSAC, and Element Labs. And apologies, I have to leave early.
Ron De Silva, excuse me, board.
George, if you could just quickly introduce yourself.
George Sadowski.
Matthew.
Matthew Shears.
Ron, do you want to just introduce other two people?
I believe we have Jeff Houston, ESSAC member, and David Conrad. Everybody knows who David is.
Okay, great. The format of this meeting, I'll moderate the meeting, run the queue, but this is really intended to be a dialogue, an interaction between the board and the ESSAC. If we could go to the next slide. These are questions from the ICANN board to the ESSAC, so I'll pass this to you, Rod, to provide some responses and then initiate the dialogue.
Thank you, Ram. Okay, so I think we all know what one of the primary goals of 2018 is for ESSAC, given the recent request from the board and the work we've done and put out to public comment. And that is the Name Collisions Analysis Project, or NCAP, as we are calling it, because we like acronyms in ICANN, and that's really long anyways. So we assume we're going to be talking about that fairly extensively here. We also are looking at a couple of different things to release in the near term, a paper on who is rate limiting. We figure that's going to come out sometime, maybe in Q3, or perhaps sooner, depending on how soon the work party wraps up. And then also a paper looking at some issues around the Internet of Things. And that, again, would probably be sometime in Q3, but maybe brought forward or backwards. It's the way ESSAC works. Depends on how much we get information and research and availability of our members. So those are the three areas of work that we have already on the docket. There are many more that we may take up as well, depending on various requests and interests from the membership. Ram, should we talk about or have questions from the board on those three?
Why don't we do that? questions from the board. I see a couple of other board members who've also joined us. So there's Lito, right, just raise your hand, and then Leon is, and Kaveh, and Leon, and there's Yoran in the back as well. And Khalid, where is Khalid? Oh, there you are. Okay. Okay, Rod, do you want to? Sorry, there were questions. Do board members have any responses?
Basically, we've got those as our key goals, and one of them is one I know we all want to talk about today. So, if there, I guess the point would be before we talk about the NCAP project, are there any questions about some of the other initiatives we have going? So we can get those out of the way.
Any questions from board members? Three key goals: name collision analysis, who is rate limiting, Internet of Things, targeted for this year. Questions? Yone.
Yeah, just out of curiosity, what is your focus on Internet of Things? So what do you see is the SAC's role in that, and what, because Internet of Things, of course, is a huge area and very overly used term. So what do you think is important for ESSEC?
So as the chair of that work party.
Yeah, so that's really a painful question because, as you said, it's a really big topic. So
Say your name.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm Christian Esselman. So we're currently looking into what our focus could be in this area. So we know that the Internet of Things might have an impact on users, the DNS, and the Internet at large with all these insecure IoT devices out there. So, for instance, users could be impacted in terms of their privacy could be hurt or their maybe even their physical safety. And as we have all seen, that these IoT devices can also be used to launch DDoS attacks on the Internet, and that includes, of course, the DNS. So we're currently making an inventory of the topics that we could look into, and we have identified a few. So potential topics could be that we look into open source protocol stacks and potential vulnerabilities in those. So perhaps by, setting up a test lab or an IoT lab to continually investigate if there are vulnerabilities in open source software and then perhaps recommend on projects that would, improve that quality. So we need to basically map out, in that case, which are the most used open source stacks and out there being used by IoT devices. Other topics include that we look into the potentially changing DNS usage patterns so that we have a look at how IoT devices use the DNS. That might be one. Another one related to the key rollover, the KSK key rollover, is that we investigate how many IoT devices have an onboard validating resolver, because that might be an issue because, as you know, IoT devices not always get updated, so that might be an issue. And there might be also things like there are DDoS for hire services that also make use of IoT devices. So there are probably sites within certain TLDs that can be used for hiring these DDoS attacks. So those are a number of topics that we could currently have on our radar, but we still need to decide on which topic we're going to pick.
Any other questions? Yone, did that satisfy your curiosity?
It does. Can I ask some more, or do we have time? Or
we have time.
Okay. Just kind of like, because this is a very interesting area, when you say IoT devices, if we look at IoT devices, we can have a very broad range there of a very small sensor that is connected to internet, maybe not even over IP, but through a gateway or something like that. Or then a car can be an IoT device as well. And those have used very different softwares and very different protocols and so on. Do you have, and also that when we look at this kind of like IoT software that you can find, for instance, in open source, that is a wide range of software that can be used in this, depending what kind of device that is. How do you have any vision already? How are you going to kind of like focus that, or are you going to take on samples of different devices, or what is the approach?
We haven't fleshed it out that far, to be honest. One potential focus area could be home networks, because these are traditionally poorly secured. So if you look at where these DDoS attacks, for example, come from, then it's usually from home networks and not so much from cars or industrial networks. So that's potentially an area to focus on. But the other question you asked, that remains to be worked out.
Thank you. Martin?
Yeah, thanks. I hear you on the vulnerabilities, all that have to do with the IoT. Are you also considering what the DNS could do to make the IoT environment safer as such? So the other way around, not only how IoT can affect the vulnerability of the DNS, but also the other way around.
Yeah, that's a good question. We had some thought on that. So it could be that if you look at there are various models for the IoT, and one of them is when you have that there's a back-end service associated with the device, and of course there's kind of a binding or an association between the back-end service and the front-end device, and you want to make that secure. So one thing you could do there is actually use DNSSEC to go to the service. So that becomes more difficult to hijack the association between the device and the back-end service, and you cannot be rerouted as easily to a malicious service somewhere without, let's say, the user of the device actually knowing that. So that could potentially be something.
Thank you very much. I also wanted to acknowledge Becky from the board, who's also joined us in this meeting. So, Becky, if you could just raise your hand, people know who you are. Okay. Rod, let's go to the second question. What are
Do you want to talk about NCAP?
We can talk. I thought NCAP kind of is deserving of its own segment.
Okay.
So what are your most relevant longer-term goals?
Thanks, Ram. Okay, so we have two main things we wanted to talk about with the board on that, they're both kind of very long-term, thinking about the nature of ESSEC, the relationship with ESSEC and the community and the board, in the new ICANN post-transition world. With the request that we got for NCAP, and other requests we know are probably coming down the pike, things like the KSK role, reviewing the DAR. We've heard that as a potential item. We've had a couple of requests for specific technology issues around IDNs. We're getting a lot more requests than we ever have before. We're also hearing from other SOs and ACs about potential requests. We had several people come up to the mic yesterday in an open session and were requesting things around RDS, registration directory services, replacement for whois type of things, where they were asking about accreditation models and authentication and things like that. We had... To be fair, we'd actually said we were kind of interested in talking about these, and that set off a flurry of people wanting to say, yes, please talk about them. So there's a lot of things coming to us, but we're constrained as a volunteer organization. We're all volunteers, and we have a fairly limited staff. We're actually down a little bit because of some internal movements. So, and our staff has been doing a great job of keeping up with things, but it actually limits the amount of work we can actually do. And we're going to talk about the NCAP project, where that's a really huge project, where there may be a management layer, and we're still trying to figure that out. But we'll get into those details later. But there's just a lot of things coming down at us. So we wanted to have a dialogue around where the board and the community, et cetera, and it's just the start of a dialogue about how we're going to do this, because one of the things we're concerned about is having a lot of items thrown at us, given the nature of the way we've worked in the past, where we would come up with items, and occasionally items would come to us, and we'd deliberate whether we'd even work on them or not, because sometimes we didn't have anything to say, and then at our own pace come out with a paper or a comment or things like that. What we're getting more now is we need to know an answer to this question by this date, and that's just not the way we're set up to operate. And we need, instead of saying, no, we're not going to do that, we want to have a dialogue about what, how we can accommodate the needs of the community and our ability to provide sage advice and make this work for everyone. So that's kind of, and that's a big meta issue, right? But it's also, it's being driven by what we're seeing. And, you know, I'm also trying to raise a flag saying, hey, there's a lot going on here, and I don't want to start seeing volunteers going, I don't think I'm a volunteer anymore. I've been conscripted to the ICANN staff or something like that, right? So that's the first meta issue. Why don't we see what people think about that?
Yeah. What do board members think about that, Shireen?
So thank you, Rod. I think this is a fundamental question. Because it goes to the heart that we discussed in various other areas about contention of resources. I can hear what you just said. You said in the past we had fewer topics we chose, and at our own pace we came up with advice. Now you have a lot of things coming down your pipe and with requests by a certain date to achieve things, and you don't have... You're a volunteer organization with not enough people, right, to do everything.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, it's a...
To do everything and the stuff that people actually came to do. Right?
Yeah. So it is definitely a prioritization issue, and we have to... I mean, I think we said it everywhere, because you're not the only stakeholder who's complaining about this. Everybody is saying we have a lot to do, and there's contention for limited resources. So we do have, we are missing a central mechanism to resolve prioritization and contention for resources. And I think we've said it before, we said that the demand, this is a supply and demand issue. The demand comes from the stakeholders. The supply is provided by Joran and his team. So unless we put the supply and demand together, we won't be able to achieve everything we can do. But going back to ESSAC, I mean, your mission is definitely, right, is the security and stability. So I think you have to prioritize this. Anything that comes your way that is not security and stability, core to the security and stability, has got to go down in the pecking order. There's no doubt about that, right? I don't think we have an answer, but I'm glad you've started the dialogue, because we have to find a solution for that.
Okay, I have David Conrad, and then Khaled, and then Jay in the queue. David?
Hi. I'm in sort of an odd position, as I'm both staff and in ESSAC. My suspicion is that there probably needs to be some sort of load sharing between ESSAC and OCTO in this space. There are a lot of things that, you know, since OCTO is staff and we are able to be directed and have tight time constraints placed upon us, we're probably better for some of the tasks that may be associated with OCTO. ESSAC. However, there are other areas in which ESSAC, being an independent body, may have better characteristics depending on the particular request. So it's probably something that, you know, one of the things the board may want to consider is trying to figure out which direction requests of, that would normally or and historically have gone to ESSAC may be applicable to go into OCTO and vice versa.
Thank you, David.
We need to.
Please.
Yeah. Sorry, I don't want to occupy the space, but that is a very good suggestion, David. And what is stopping us from doing that? I mean, if I like your point about the independence, and at the same time you say there are things that are applicable to OCTO that can take some of the load off RSAC. ESSAC, I mean, sorry. So what is the... Is there something stopping us from doing that?
Back to you, David.
My suspicion is it's mostly just historical. Okta is relatively new. ESSAC has existed for quite some time. So traditionally, people would throw sort of security stability stuff towards ESSAC. But now Okta has ramped up somewhat. I'm always in need of additional resources, so I don't want to. I'm a bit nervous of throwing too much into the pot here. But I think the combination of Okta and ESSAC may be able to address some of the load.
Okay, I'll on this one, Rod, did you want to respond?
Yeah, no, I think some coordination is a good idea, David. And so that's something we should probably set up some sort of offline, a subsequent discussion, probably amongst the admin committee and Okta.
Okay, from the board side, if we could tag that as an action item for a follow through, that would be helpful. Thank you, Vincent. Khalid?
I have a question out of curiosity. I attended yesterday your session. I remember you said there is 37 member in the ESSAC, which is great. I mean, looking at the skill sets that you have, guys, it's very important to have very core people that work on the security and stability issues. But when I hear you now talking about the volunteer need and the resources need, probably is there any thinking about doing more outreach to include other, either membership or a new kind of volunteer or using other people? I mean, I noticed, for example, yesterday the room was full of people and you were asking questions. I personally saw a lot of new gen people and fellows that are interested in the security issues. So probably this is one of the kind of resources that you may look at it.
Thanks, Julie Hammer speaking. This is an issue that we've debated in admin committee and amongst ourselves in individual conversations, not necessarily in recent times, ESSAC as a whole. And there's two sides to that equation. The ESSAC is set up as a community of identified experts who actually have a high degree of trust in each other. And one of the reasons why progress can be made on many issues is because of that trust, the fact that we know each other well and are willing to share information that would not necessarily be shared in a broader group. So one of the balances that we have to find is having sufficient people to do the work that we want to do, but maintaining that relationship within the group and the level of trust so that we actually can do the work and get the information that we need to do the work. So it really is a balancing act. If the group gets too big, it may actually impede the way we are able to undertake work. So I think it's an issue that we really do need to debate more and maybe think about it with some lateral thinking to see what we can come up with. But expanding the group isn't necessarily going to be the best answer.
Rod, did you want to say something on this topic? No. Okay. Jay?
Thank you. This has been a great, Jay Daly speaking, a great conversation so far. And as Julia and Rod have said, it mirrors a lot of what we've been talking about in ESSAC. Just a reminder that our biggest piece of work to come up by far is NCAP, which has been originated by the ICANN board, not the ICANN community. And it is a qualitatively very different piece of work in scale and various other things. Now, I know we'll get on to discuss that, but it's we need to consider that as well when we talk about pushing things into the pipe, the source of these type of things. And we'll also make it clear, I think, in that conversation how much we've talked about the integration with Okta and how much can be offloaded to Okta as well, because we're very aware of that.
Thank you, Jay. Sarah is in the queue, and then I'm going to come back, Greg, for a brief intervention, then back to Rod. I want to keep us moving on our schedule. Sarah?
Yeah, just a very quick question. I saw that JAR was mentioned as one of the items, and I just wondered what discussion there's been in the ESSAC about GDPR.
Rod, that word has been mentioned.
She said the word. We have discussed, well, actually, let me take a step back. The issues surrounding who is in RDS, et cetera, have been talked about in this body, and we've offered many different recommendations around them over, you know, over a decade. SAC 55 was a fairly seminal piece that was the blind man and the elephant piece, as we called it, which talked a lot about a lot of the big issues. We also commented on the EWG report, and we've talked in general about models and things like needing to deploy RDAP. So all of these kinds of things have been talked about that are related to the current topic. Given the current topic, obviously our members are involved in various ways with, you know, trying to deal with this issue, whether they're work for a contracted party or have interest for data access, what have you. So there are definitely those conversations going on. We identified three areas that ESSAC may do some work in that would be applicable but would not necessarily be something we would put out in the very, very, very short term, which is, you know, we're given where we bear the deadline that we're bearing down on. Those three areas are law enforcement access to data, access for various levels of security practitioners, whether that's investigations or automated systems for reputation, things like that, how to continue doing that because it helps protect so much of the infrastructure itself, so it becomes an SSR issue itself. And then in a technical perspective, looking at gated access models and all the things that go into that as far as authentication and credentialing and all that kind of thing, which would be in our SSR remit. We're not looking at things like legal policies and trying to deconflict in, you know, various national laws. That's outside of what we feel is our scope. Does that answer the question?
Thank you, Sarah. Greg?
Greg Aaron. That topic actually is an example of what we've been talking about. It's something that the ESSAC has to track and understand because there are a lot of security implications to what's going on, and we've published a lot about that topic over the years. So it requires the time of people in this group, such as myself, to see what's going on and bring that information back to ESSAC. The question I have is, every project within the SS&ACs has some sort of a sponsor. And I think one of the questions for the board is, how are the groups in the community choosing their projects, and are they running them in an acceptably efficient fashion? The RDS working group, for example, in the GNSO has been going on for 2 years now. It has no output whatsoever. So is that fair to volunteers? And at what point do things need to be revisited or put back on track? Because that is an enormous time sink for people like us who are trying to do the right thing.
Thank you. Let's go to the back to you, Rod, for the next piece of on the long-term goals.
Yeah, and I did want to have one finish-out item on that first one, and that is one of the areas that we need to be thinking about as we're getting requests from the board or our other SOAs and ACs is that some of those things we couldn't hand off to Octo because we're being asked to review some of the work they've done. For example, the KSK role would be in that realm. By the way, one of the little points I've written down here is that we actually think that ICANN's been doing a good job on this. I just want to make sure that's understood on the way they've handled this process and all that. I think we've said it before, but I want to say it again. So there are some of these things which are coming out which may. The inclination may be to say, hey, let's ask ESSAC about that as an independent body. But when you stop and think about it, it might be better to, at that point, do what any other kind of corporation or organization does, is find an expert that comes in as an independent auditor or some sort of thing like that, depending on the our examiner or the consultant, and actually give you an answer because you've got a specific question. I'm not saying we're saying deflect all that work there, but this is, depending on the nature of the question, may be more appropriate. And So if we're thinking about divvying up work between us, Okto, we also need to think about divvying up work with others, that it might be more appropriate given the nature of the question being asked. And again, this is part of a dialogue, but we need to have that conversation. Keep going. Okay. So the other meta issue is around the organization of ICANN itself, and then, I mean the ICANN community and the empowered community, et cetera. As a newly minted SOAC chair, I've been thrust into some interesting areas already. The SSR2 review team being the most obvious, where we have found that there really isn't a mechanism for handling things that get spun up and then have some sort of issues. There's also a question of accountability and how things are guided, et cetera, along the way. And we've all had hallway conversations about that. But it's quite clear that we need to be doing something about that. And we're just raising this as one of the ACs. And hopefully you've heard this from some of the others. I know as chairs we've been talking about this issue extensively, having to deal with and make up on the fly process to try and deal with the SSR2 issue and some other things that we have concerns about. So any thoughts that the board has on that particular area? And again, this I think is a bigger community dialogue, but ESSEC wanted to make sure to raise that and make sure that was on your radar, if it wasn't already, which I'm probably pretty sure it was.
Shireen?
So yes, we agree with you. There is a process missing, and I'm sure there'll be other processes missing. I mean, the bylaws have gone from 50 pages to 250 pages. In one go, frankly, and they are really comprehensive, but I think we probably now, as we are implementing parts of it, we find that there are missing processes, and so we'll have to take stock of that and make sure that we learn every time and put a process in place. So on the SOs and on the SSR2. It is true. I mean, I can sense that the SOs and AC chairs are looking for something there to guide them through it, and rather than the, as you said, making it on the fly, which is tricky. But wasn't there, wasn't there a discussion about finding a facilitator to progress things? Khaled, do you want to address that?
I don't know exactly what point you are referring, Shireen, but I wanted to address another thing.
No, the point we were talking about was that when the SSR2 was paused, the responsibility then was with the SO and AC chairs or the SOs and ACs to restart it when they've analyzed, and now they're saying this is all well and good, but we don't have a mechanism for us to get together and make that restart happen. And we're just inventing it on the fly. Is there something that can be done? And I said, well, I understand the difficulty, but there was a suggestion of having a facilitator, an independent facilitator, to help that group get together and put the pieces together and restart it. So could you comment on that?
Yes. So I understand Roth point, and this is was already discussed. I mean, myself and Rod and other SOIC chairs about the there is, in fact, a lot of things that have been introduced in the bylaws that gives responsibility to the SOIC chairs to be acting on behalf of the community in few things, including for this case, the SSR2, the responsibility on behalf of the community to impose the SSR2 is on your hand as SOIC chairs, but we are facing few challenges in terms of accountability, the case of the facilitator, we are moving with the facilitator, but one of the questions are related to whom this facilitator, for example, will report. Is it for the SOAC chairs? And if yes, how it will be the mechanism? Is this like a meeting with them? And what kind of information it needs to be shared with them? lot of questions that we are learning a lot from that. I think the good thing is that we, with the SSR2, we have learned so much. We incorporated a few of the things in the guidelines about the specific reviews, but we are also proposing a few things. So expect that there will be a few things that would come from the OEC, and we will be discussing as well for the facilitator.
Thank you, Khaled. I have Shireen and then Jeff on this topic, and then we'll move to NCAP.
So thank you, Khaled. This is an area where the board can help the community, frankly, right? And I think we need to take some leadership there and help with that missing mechanism and propose it to the community and get a dialogue going and really try and resolve this impasse by us taking some leadership and making proposition to the community. So I'm glad you said that.
If I may, I can share that 7:30 today, the OEC had an informal chat about how we can move with those reactions that we have seen in this meeting, especially in every single meeting. We have unsatisfaction and feedback from every single community members about the reviews and how we are conducting them. So we are taking the lead on that. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Jeff?
Thanks, Ram. Jeff Houston. As a former and continuing member of SSR2, I would like to be frank with you. It was a train wreck, and part of the reason why the train wreck happened was that it is extremely challenging to do a difficult and complex piece of work relying solely on volunteers drawn from across the globe with the attendant issues of time zones, languages, etc. And so the outcome was in some ways predictable given the scope and the aspirations of the work and the ability of volunteers to do this. The facilitator, as I understand it, is to restart the process. If that's all this is, it will restart the train wreck and you're going to be back there again in another 12 months wondering why it's gone off the rails. This is no way to do such an important role. The volunteers need dedicated help to do their job, not just facilitate the meetings, but to address the substance of the work. And I think that kind of assistance is the only assistance that is going to, if you will, create an outcome that differs from another repeat of a train wreck. And so in some ways, what I'm saying is, if you make the volunteers manage some kind of contracted study and be responsible for reviewing and ensuring that those studies are undertaken with timeliness and effectiveness, you might get a better outcome. But any other process where you simply say to the volunteers, do all the work, you're not going to get an outcome you're happy with, I am sorry. So I apologise for my frankness, but it has been a difficult year for me last year watching this, and I do not and would not like to see ICANN repeat that. That would be dangerous.
Thanks. Shireen, briefly, and then we'll move to name collision.
So there are two points here. One is what you just said. When you start one of these reviews, you have to structure it right. Otherwise, it will become a train wreck. I agree with you. And the other one is if the board wants to fulfill its fiduciary responsibility, see something is not going in the right direction, ask for a pause, there is also a missing mechanism for how to restart. So we, and that brings us all to the point that Joran has been saying all along, is that maybe we're doing too many reviews in one particular year. And next year there are 9 reviews lined up. How would we manage all this? So I think if we are able to collectively as a community get together and agree that we can stagger those. So do less, but do it well, right? Rather than do everything in one go just because our bylaw said you have to do it, you have to do it, you have to do it, and then we end up doing none of them doing it well. And as we go around, take, for example, the organizational reviews. As we go around, many constituents, many stakeholders are saying they're not effective. They're receiving recommendations, and they say we're rejecting most of them because so there is an issue here. We have to take a holistic view and solve this problem once and for all and in the right way, and I fully agree with your comments. So thank you for raising it.
Thank you, Shireen. Khaled, briefly, and then we're going to move
very quickly. Just would like to really thank you about making this comment because we need to be frank to each one of us. We are part of the same family, the same community. And just I would like to make sure that the OEC and the board are keen to make sure that if there is any need for you to conduct your review, we will not say no at all. And my understanding is that there is also already budget for contracting external contractors. So we may use what we have in hand already. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Rod, just go to you for an update to the board on what ESSAC is doing on name collision, and then really the rest of it is a dialogue on name collision with the board.
Thanks, Ram. Yes, and just very quickly, we have put out for public comment a preliminary proposed plan, and I really want to emphasize preliminary. We don't have even full consensus within ESSAC about how that's even put together, but we wanted to get this out for public feedback and feedback from the board, which we'll get some of that today and hopefully over time. That plan envisions breaking this up into various studies, basically understanding what is out there, what is actually happening, and trying to figure out what data we could use to analyze everything that is there and what potential other, potentially filling the other studies we're doing. The second kind of big part of it is looking at root cause analysis, what's causing strings that may be considered collisions. Part of what we're going to do as well is better define collisions, as was part of the board request. And then finally, look at mitigation methods for ways to deal with things that we do find and understand the nature of where they're coming from. We put together that a proposed way of going after that. And then, of course, I'm sure I've heard that there may be some questions about how we put costs together, et cetera. So let me head that off right off the bat by just saying that we took a look at the studies we're talking about, the having public workshops and public and doing the thing that the board asked us to do, which is to be inclusive, which is a change for ESSAC on that, and bringing in members of the community. That adds a fairly significant cost component to that. I might point out is because there'd be separate meetings and it may be tied to ICANN meetings to save costs, but again, which we assumed at least in a couple of those, but that you have to have them. And then there's the ongoing kind of project management overhead, right? Where we assume that we're going to have a project manager, Sarah, because we're a bunch of volunteers. We don't do project management. I mean, some of us may have done it in our careers, but it's not something that we're doing. So there's like technical writers, and there's things in there that actually build that out. So that's how it was put together and based it on kind of what rates of those kind of typical things are in the marketplace that we had information for, and put that together. So that's where those came from. But there's all those questions about that. But that's really just a preliminary proposal so we could get feedback on it. This is not the end all be all of what it would be. And then there are also fundamental questions about how this thing gets run, because as we've been debating this even since we put this out for public comment and internally, is what is the proper role for us to have in this process versus being part of the process, where there may be other resources we could tap into either with an external party or OCTO or some other way, mechanism of dealing with the management of stuff and assigning of tasks, et cetera. I would point out that ESSAC has no capability to sign a contractor to do anything because we are not an official, we don't have that signatory authority, right? All those things would have to be worked out, and we'd like to have a dialogue around that. We like to get input around that. That's out for public comment, and then we're going to take that back and what we get from our dialogue with the board, and then produce a final proposal with all that in after the public comment period and all that. So that's where we are there. Jim, did I leave anything out? Nope. Okay, good. So I'd like to open it up for questions and comments and feedback from the board.
Great. So from the board, Yone is going to is the lead for the name collision discussion. So over to you, Yone.
Yeah, thank you, Ram. So I'm Yone Soinen in again. Trying to see how to address this or how to start the dialogue, because I mean, like you, basically you brought a lot of points up, and I'm trying to parse them in my mind partially, and also take into account what we have done already before. So what we've done actually until now is when we saw your proposal, we discussed this briefly in the board technical committee. Not the whole board has discussed this, but we took the first look, and we had some kind of like first reactions to that. I brought something up already in the public session, so basically we were asking that, are you looking at also second-level collations, or is that part of the plan and stuff like that? So I don't want to basically spend too much time on that anymore. But what I would like to start first is to say that thank you for this work, because this is clearly, it is visible that you have put a lot of attention to that, and you have put a lot of work to this. I also understand that this is not something that ESSEC normally does. So this has basically has challenged you with a task that is not necessarily the most usual task for you guys, and yet you have pulled it off, and that's very good. Also, I would like to thank that how you took what we asked in the proposal. You have thought very much about the openness. You have thought how to do that and stuff like that. So nice piece of work. Thank you very much. There were some... So first of all, I have to kind of like, if I'm completely open, first the thing that basically at least shocked me or kind of like surprised me was that what is the dollar figure in the end of it. Now, after discussions with some of you, it seems that the kind of like question there is a little bit is on the really on the kind of like assumptions that you built your proposal on. I think that you have already hinted towards them a little bit. What you're saying, and if I understand it correctly, and please fix what goes wrong here just to start, and I want to ask you more about those later, but basically what you're saying, this is not work that ESSEC would do normally. So you are not volunteering to do this. You're basically, you're looking at this like in any project plan, what it costs to do this when you hire somebody to actually do the work and run a project and do it completely in pay for a hire way. And you have found what I would assume the maximum for that. Is this correct?
More or less. I mean, we looked at what role we should play, because the part of the analysis, et cetera, that goes into this and the design and asking questions would be done by members in their volunteer capacity. So we didn't cost out every single minute that would be spent in it, right? But we did take and say we're looking at three studies that would be at least three studies. You might, depending on how you divvy things up, it might be more, right? Because you start breaking projects down, you end up with different things. But three main studies and kind of the hours and people, types of people that would be involved in it. We were thinking about, well, you need a senior level person for this. We actually broke it down to that level. We actually have a detailed spreadsheet that has all of these costing assumptions in it, which obviously we can share with the board. We, for sensitivity reasons, we didn't put it out for general public because there's cost assumptions in there, and then you if you would be bidding this out, that would be putting ICANN at a huge disadvantage on that. So we know how to keep that kind of close held. One of the things we've been talking about this is potentially doing and reviewing that would be to put together a small team from the board and from our side to just walk through, part of the NCAP admin committee, and just walk through that with them so you can have direct oversight / analysis by the board and to kind of satisfy those questions that have come up, those natural questions. We're talking about a pretty substantial sum that we've put out there. But and we were, and to answer your other question, we were conservative in our estimates and on costs because we don't like surprises the wrong way. Yep.
So Julie, and then back to you, Yone.
Thanks, Julie Hammer. Just want to add one point on the costing, and that is that there's actually an element of the cost, not insignificant, that comes with meeting the board's requirement for us to be inclusive and get input from the community and even beyond ICANN, so that we thought about mechanisms by which that could happen, but they come with the cost as well.
Back to you, Yone.
Yeah, excellent, and thank you very much for this. I'm like, this is really helpful. And first of all, Rod, on your proposal that we should meet with a perhaps smaller group of from the board and go through this, that was I will take you on that offer, because that was actually what we thought that we would want to do anyway. So so sounds good. The kind of like an underlying thing that I feel what I have discussed with some of you individually and now here as well is that you keep on repeating that this is, you're not usually doing this normally, project like this. This is a different way than ESSAC works usually. And just sort of kind of like this personally from me is that do you feel uneasy that we did you this question, and do you feel that ESSAC is the right place to do this work?
Yes, thank you. That reflects some of our own internal debate. And I mentioned earlier we did not have full consensus on this, and that would be one of the areas that we have open questions amongst ourselves on this. And stepping back to the meta issue around name collisions and understanding and examining it, I think we've spoken extensively about it in the past, and it's a natural question to come to us to get more thoughts on. So the question here becomes, is what is our role in doing? We have a role. I would definitely say we have a role, absolutely. Then the question becomes, what's the proper role for us to be at? And there can, you know, we put this together initially thinking, well, we're going to be pretty deeply involved in managing this thing. But we've actually been talking about this further since we put this proposal out there, and maybe we have a lighter role where we're more designing, asking the questions, and then others are taking those and designing things to, you know, study those questions and bring those kinds of data together in consultation with us. And as we get things back, then we can take it and, you know, do our thing to analyze that to some extent. But that, there again, you may have others helping with that analysis. At the end of the day, you want to get recommendations from us as the independent body. The question is the process of getting the answers and getting the data that we need to do that. And I think there are a lot of different, there's a spectrum of ways we can approach this. And now that we've kind of dug into it, we see that. And this also reflects back to that meta issue we were talking about before, is, you know, where there's this change in ICANN and we're getting more questions. Are we going to have to evolve a bit too ourselves and be, you know, be more accepting of this? And if we are, what is the right level of support we get to do that? And it goes to some resourcing things too. But we need to figure out where we can do our best and be most efficient, give you the best advice, while still answering the questions that the community is asking. And I hate to take it back to that high level, and since we're dealing with this project, but it really does reflect back to that.
Yone, and just to let you know, we have about 5 minutes left on this topic before we should wrap. So I don't want to have you talk only about the cost, because I think there were a couple of other topics you wanted to bring up also.
Yeah, I think that actually the couple of other topics I brought up already in the public session, and I think that what I'm hearing is that, and I know we're not going to finish this topic here today, and really the kind of like getting into a smaller group and talking about hashing this out, this most probably is the right way to go. So as a conclusion, that I would like to put that there as an offer, and you seem to like that. And the kind of like on the structure of this thing, first of all, now we have something that we can look at. We have a good starting point. So this is, or you've already done a very important step for this name collision thing, is actually having a
project plan proposal that we can start work on and look at what is the right place to do that. And it's good to hear, or it's interesting to hear, that you basically have had the discussions internally about what should be ESSEC's role, and I hope that you come to some sort of conclusion internally as with that, and then we can and we can also have a back and forth between the board. But as in a kind of like a proposal to move forward, I think that a smaller group of the ICANN board and a smaller group from the ESSEC should sit together and start looking at this more.
Okay. I hear both from the board and from the ESSEC in the same proposal, so I'd say that there is more than just rough consensus on doing that. So, Vincian, that'll be another action item that arises out of this discussion. In the queue is Shireen and then Patrick, and then we'll most likely run Patrick first.
Thank you very much. If I look a little bit from the outside, which I'm able to do now, both on the SSR2 and some other things and the SENCA project, I think to some degree we see an evolution in how ICANN is operating, where earlier diverging views in the community was something that ICANN.org took on a very explicit and operative role to try to resolve what the actual consensus was and interpret the view of the community. And then the community and specifically the advisory committees are designed to review whatever was produced and come back with feedback, and you had a repeated loop there. What is happening now in the modern version of ICANN, I find is, which by the way I completely support and I've been advocating this for like forever, is that there is much higher pressure on ICANN, the community, to actually reach the consensus, which means including taking the last couple of steps to actually come up with some kind of solution. So from that perspective, the community is now trying to do all different kind of things that earlier the community was doing, and because of that, it's not really designed for. In the case of the NCAP project, I do understand that the board would like to have ESSEC much more closely participating in the project and not just communicating back, like you can jump higher and higher and higher, instead actually participating so we actually in the community come to some consensus. But on the other hand, as has pointed out, we in ESSEC, we are not used to do that. We evaluate the result of what others have produced. And now we're asked to run the project, which means being a little bit closer so we actually see some convergence here. And we simply, as Rod pointed out, we simply do not know how to do this. So I think I completely, fully support, which like we have this consensus of having this smaller group of discussing how to move this forward. But I think there is a meta issue in there as well. And we see that with SSR2 project as well. There are certain things volunteers cannot do. And regardless how much we would like to have the community run something which looked like project, the question is whether we really have to do that, can do that in the community. And if we can, what kind of support do we need? What should the division of labor be in the normal project sort of setup? What are volunteers doing? What is staff doing, etc.? I think that there are some meta issues in there as well that need to be discussed. Thank you.
Thank you. Yone, there's Shireen in the queue. Did you want to respond to Patrick? Yeah. Okay.
If I could just respond to Patrick very quickly. Yeah, I think this is one thing that we also in the board looked at is really that what is the responsibility on running a project, and that is something that where we have questions as well. It could be better if the org would run the project rather than the volunteers would run the project. And I think this is something that or some sort of mix of that. And this is something that we have to actually discuss as well, is that what is the appropriate mechanism to run these kind of projects if we choose to run it in this way.
Thank you. Shireen?
So just a quick word, which is I understand the cost and the process issue, but let's not let this get into the way of talking about the substance, right? I mean, we spent half an hour on this project, and it was all process and cost, whereas the substance is there is an underlying problem which the board needs advice and needs closure on, and that problem has been going on for quite a long time, right? And we would not have come to ESSEC if we did not need your advice and want your advice to to get closure on this. And because, so that was an issue in the last round of new GTLDs, and if there is another subsequent round to come, it'd be good to have that issue sorted out so that we don't fall into the same position again of people requesting to delegate certain strings and we feel we can't delegate it and we haven't got really a clear policy of why. We're not, like with Home Corp Main, which we hang around for a number of years and at the end we said we will not delegate those for the moment and take your money back. I think we need to provide, we owe everyone to provide more clarity on this issue. So again, there is a need for this work to be done. And let's find a way and not let substance, process and costs get in our way. So thank you.
Thanks. Rod, back to you on this one.
Yeah, and thank you, Shireen. That hits the nail on the head for us. We would much rather be talking about the cool stuff, the fun stuff. For us, right, the geeky stuff. The good news is while we've been doing this, we actually have had substantive conversations around this. What kind of data would that data help with illuminate this issue or not? So we have had those discussions, and I'd much be rather having those discussions than this one. So totally agree with that.
Okay, I'm gonna. Jay, if you want to get in, you'll have like 10 seconds or 20 seconds because we're almost out of time here.
I think we need to be very careful about having a dependency on round two with this project. The outcome of this project may not be something that can be a yes, no, or a red, green, or anything like that in the future. Even if we make that dependency, we may regret it later, depending on the outcome of this. And so I would strongly recommend that we look at the act of God clause or whatever else it is required for round two, so that if this then ends up having a bad outcome for some people, that kind of clause can be invoked rather than have a dependency between the two.
Thank you, Jay. I'm going to hand it back to you, Rod, and then to you, Shireen, to wrap the session up.
Okay. Well, I see that we're already past time, so I'm going to just say thank you to the board for coming and spending time with us. And thank you for the ESSEC members for participating as well.
I would say thank you. This is very important dialogue because our mission is the security and stability of the identifier system. And it couldn't be a more important meeting to talk about this. This is at the heart of our mission. So thank you for the dialogue. I appreciate it.
Real quick, there's a pair of glasses over here. Does this belong to anybody before I put it in the lost and found? No? Okay, thanks.
That adjourns this meeting of the board and the ESSAC. Thank you.